we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday, Brevard County. We want to thank you for once again tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I want to remind you at the beginning of the broadcast, once again, that this week is the offering here at the radio station. It's their fundraiser during the spring to make sure that all of the operational expenses are taken care of. And so if you are appreciating the Word of God that comes to you, I know there are a lot of great preachers that come on. I think it's Charles Stanley before me and Adrian Rogers after me, and Dan Stahlbaum from East Coast is on early of a morning. And so if you have are appreciative of the Word of God as it comes forth, we encourage you to pray, ask God to if he would have you to participate in keeping the gospel broadcasting through the airwaves of Brevard County, Florida here. And not only that, it goes around the globe through the internet broadcast. It also, you know, reaches through simulcast into other nations, beyond Brevard County. And so all of that is very, very encouraging. It was probably about a year ago I got a phone call. There was an evangelist. He was driving to a meeting here in Brevard County. And he said, I'd just like to call in and have pastors that I hear on the radio to have them pray for us in our ministry. And we began to have some discussions, and come to find out, he had attended the Bible college that my wife had attended at the same time she attended it. Now, she was only there for 1 year, but they didn't remember one another. But it was the radio broadcast that got his attention as they were driving through town. So this really does reach into people's homes. And so if you have an opportunity, maybe the Lord's blessed you financially, and you would like to be a part of continuing the radio station's operations, we encourage you to call 632-1000 and tell them that you would like to partner with them for the next 6 months. So 632-1000, we appreciate it all. If you mention that you listen to the Refresh Radio broadcast, that is one of our sources of feedback that we get. If if this program is a blessing to you, let us know, because that's really the only type of feedback that we get. So I want to take you back to the book of Isaiah today. Isaiah, it seems like we're never going to get out of chapter 1. We're not going to spend this much time on every chapter, but there's a lot of really good things here in Isaiah chapter 1. So today I want to begin reading verse number 21, and it says, "How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on mine enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness." We're going to stop the reading there. So today I want to talk to you about something that it might not sound very encouraging, but I want to talk to you about deterioration. I want to talk about things that that decay, because that is really what is described here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 21. It says, how the faithful city has become a harlot. How the faithful city has become a harlot. And one of the great truths of God's word is that whenever we distance ourselves from God, we begin to experience spiritual decay. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. We are to remain in him. If we do not abide in him, if we do not remain in him, then we die. It's very simple. You say, well, I feel just as alive as I did before. Several years ago, a long, long time ago, we had a very vinish looking plant that grew in our planter outside of our main entrance. And I went out and I cut off one of the branches off of that vine. I took it. It was still very pliable. I wrapped it up. I coiled it up. I made it into, I was actually using it as a sermon prop, as a victor's crown, the thing that they used to compete for in the Greek Olympics was literally a crown made out of a vine. They would just take it and coil it up. There was nothing fancy, nothing lasting about it. It would soon become brittle, and people went through all of this rigorous training and competition just to be able to say, I got the victor's crown. And so I took that vine, I wrapped it up, and you know, it stayed green. It stayed pliable for quite some time. But eventually the leaves began to turn a little brown, and then they turned more brown, and then they turned loose and they fell off. And it took a little while, but it was soon evident that it was no longer attached to the source of sustenance that it once had. It was deteriorating. In actuality, it was dying from the it was dead from the moment that I cut it off. It was dead. And it says here that whenever we refuse to walk in willing and obedience to what God has spoken to us, if we refuse and rebel, that we will be devoured by the sword. And it says that that which was faithful has become a harlot. A harlot is just a fancy word for a prostitute. It's somebody who is attached to another person, not because there is any love there, not because there's any commitment or any covenant. It is simply a financial transaction. That is all that it is, a person exchanging one good for another. And there are not just sexual prostitutes, not just sexual harlots, but there are spiritually unfaithful, harlotous people who once were faithful, and now they have begun to experience the deterioration that comes from not walking in fellowship with God. I was looking on the internet, and I want to read this article. It's from a website called allaboutscience.org. It's called The Second Law of Thermodynamics. It says, the second law of thermodynamics, the laws of heat power, is one of three laws of thermodynamics, which is actually four. The term thermodynamics comes from two root words, thermo meaning heat and dynamic meaning power. Thus, the laws of thermodynamics are the laws of heat power. As far as we can tell, these laws are absolute. All things in the observable universe are affected by and obey the laws of thermodynamics. The first law of thermodynamics, commonly known as the law of conservation of matter, states that matter energy cannot be created nor can it be destroyed. The quantity of matter energy remains the same. It can change from solid to liquid to gas to plasma and back again, but the total amount of matter slash energy in the universe remains constant. The second law of thermodynamics is increased entropy. The second law of thermodynamics is commonly known as the law of increased entropy. While quantity remains the same, that's the first law, the quality of the matter or the energy deteriorates gradually over time. How so? Usable energy is inevitably used for productivity, growth, and repair. In the process, usable energy is converted into unusable energy. Thus, usable energy is irretrievably lost in the form of unusable energy. Entropy is defined as a measure of usable energy within a closed or isolated system, the universe, for example. As usable energy decreases and unusable energy increases, entropy increases. Entropy is also a gauge of randomness or chaos within a closed system. As usable energy is irretrievably lost, disorganization, randomness, and chaos increase. The second law of thermodynamics in the beginning. The implications of the second law of thermodynamics are considerable. The universe is constantly losing usable energy and never gaining. We logically conclude the universe is not eternal. The universe had a finite beginning at the moment at which it was at zero entropy, its most ordered possible state. Like a wind-up clock, the universe is winding down as if at one point it was fully wound up and has been winding down ever since. The question is, who wound up the clock? The theological implications are obvious. NASA astronomer Robert Jastrow commented on these implications when he said, "Theologians generally are delighted with the proof that the universe had a beginning, but astronomers are curiously upset. It turns out that the scientist behaves the way the rest of us do when our beliefs are in conflict with the evidence." Jastrow went on to say, "For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. It seems the cosmic egg that was the birth of our universe logically requires a cosmic chicken." And so I don't necessarily agree with everything that he puts in there, but the reality is that everything around, that the universe is not moving from something more simple to more complex, but instead it is deteriorating from that which was into something of a lower quality. And that happens whenever we distance ourselves from God spiritually. The more of God we have in our life, the more of His energy works in us. It is His mighty power working in us that quickens our mortal body. It is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that quickens our mortal body. And so you and I do not have to just fold up our hands and say, well, you know, society is doomed to deteriorate to an undesirable level. Instead, we can say we need an infusion of God's divine strength, of His almighty power, to return us back to that which we were. There's a video that is called Sex Has a Price Tag. It talks about the price tag of the sexual revolution and the physical and emotional scars, and I don't remember the lady's name that does the particular video, but she said, for those of you who feel the peer pressure of others who have made choices that are not in alignment with God's word, shall we say, here is what I would say to you. I would give this suggestion to you. You can say to them, you know, at any given point in time, I can become like you. But you cannot return to what I am. And so I want to say that in lines of this, that faithful people can always become unfaithful. But it takes a work of grace for God to take unfaithful people and make them faithful. You can't say, well, I was unfaithful, but now I'm going to be faithful again. It takes a revolution in your heart. It takes a new government. I'm constantly driving up the road and seeing signs that say new owners or under new management, under new direction. When there's an election later this year, there will be a new administration. There will be new policies that come into place. And it takes new leadership, new lordship, new direction. And so if you do not like the direction that your home is going, if you do not like the direction that your health is going, if you do not like the direction that your spiritual life is going or your finances are going, then I want to challenge you the way I'm challenging our church, and that is, let's return to the Word of God. Let's repent of our sins. Let's come back. Let's humble ourselves and say, God, would you miraculously create in us? Because it really is what is being discussed here. It starts off negative, how the faithful city has become a harlot. But I want to share with you what it says in verse number 26. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Only God can take that which is crooked and perverse and make it straight and make it perfect once again. So today, let's look at what had happened to the nation, how the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Okay, this is God speaking. He said it was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but they've moved out of town. Justice, righteousness used to fill it up, but now murderers, people who are interested in killing. You know, I don't want somebody who only has a theory that doesn't work lecturing me in a manner that is contradictory to the Word of God that has been demonstrably proven over and over again to be the best quality of life on the planet. Don't tell me how much you value life when there's, you know, just a massive amount of murder going on in your city, in your community. We need to once again cry out to God and say, God, would you deliver us? I read an article here a few weeks ago, and it talked about a city that began to pray. A church began to pray. And as they prayed, the crime rate began to drop, and the drug business began to dry up, and the city began to put pressure on the church not to be praying so much, because there were, you know, there are things in government called sin taxes, not syntax, but sin taxes, sintaxes, where the more that you participate, you will find these taxes on alcohol, you will find these taxes on cigarettes, and in some parts of the country, you'll find it on marijuana that the government has set up, and the taxes are used to help fund the government. And so whenever the participation in those things begins to drop, there ends up being a budget shortfall. Now, I would challenge you that the best thing that could possibly happen is that you have a zero crime rate in a community. And I believe that it's time that the churches once again became places of influence to such an extent that the crime began to drop in our city. Not because of the party that is in power at City Hall or the party that's in power in Tallahassee or Washington, D.C., but because God is on the throne and his people are crying out and say, God, would you have your kingdom come to our community as it is in heaven? May your will be done here. And so the crime rate began to drop. They began to put pressure on the church to stop praying. And when they did, the crime rate began to increase again. And all of a sudden, the government realized that there are two ways that revenue works. One is you can have money coming in, but if you are having to pay more going out because of the crime and the incarceration rates and all of that, that sometimes those are expenses are more than the revenue brings in. And so they went back to the church and they said, would you please forgive us? And would you start praying again? You know, on the day of Pentecost, the people said, brethren, what must we do to be saved? I believe that God wants to do such a great work in our community that people will be coming to Christians and saying, would you pray for me? Actually, one of the men in our church just a couple of Wednesdays ago was testifying how a lady received a horrible diagnosis at the doctor, lives in a different part of the country, and this man's sister was there, and she had been down here. She had met him, and she said, "Do you suppose that your brother would pray for me to be healed?" And so she called him up, and he prayed the prayer of faith, and we're believing with him for her healing. He says, you're now filled with murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your money is beginning to decay. Your wine is no longer pure. It's mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious. There's a couple of different ways to look at the governments of the Old Testament. One is that they were people of influence, and as they went, so did society. But I read someplace another take on it, and that was this, that God gave the people the king, the ruler that they deserved. He gave them the ruler that was necessary that would eventually bring them back into a place where they would see the preeminence of God, that he has to be first in a society and in our lives. So the princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everybody loves bribes and follows after rewards. Can I encourage you? Do not make your decisions based upon money, because money cometh and money goeth away. And sometimes it goes away faster than it came. And so that's why the Bible talks about there are right ways and wrong ways to increase in your finances. He said, these people that in this society, they're not defending the fatherless, and nor does the cause of the widow come before them. We talked in an earlier broadcast this week that God specializes in watching over those people. In verse number 24, it says, therefore, the Lord says. Therefore means there's a transition. This particular therefore means that because of that which they were that has now deteriorated and decayed, and society is devolving into anarchy, it's that God says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. Now, if I took that verse out of context and I said, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel says, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against them. I tell you, if I preach that the way that, I like to get excited and preach. They tell me I don't need a microphone, but we like to have it for recording purposes. But I'm sure that I could get an amen. But here's the question I have for you. What if you and I are those adversaries? All of a sudden, it's not something to amen. It's something that causes for an oh me. It's something that says, I did not realize. You see, we quote that verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? But the reality is the scripture says God opposes the shrewd. He opposes those who are not walking in the path of righteousness. He is in opposition to those who are pursuing the broad path of destruction and deterioration. And he's saying there's a better way. There's a narrow way. You have to do it my way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is my word. You embrace it. You live it. You end up at a different destination. When I was in school, I loved to work on mazes, and the more complicated they were, the better. In fact, I would sometimes design my own just because it was something that I enjoyed. And there are times where you can be on a path that's going to lead you to the desired goal. There's another path that's going to be a dead end for you, and you can be going the same direction on a parallel path, but one ends in death and one ends in life. And because at some point in time, the path that is going to lead you to life is going to continue on towards its goal, and the path to destruction is literally a dead-end street. So God says, therefore, I will take vengeance. And all of a sudden, God, who's been for the nation and is still for the nation, he is just for the nation's holiness. I remember seeing this this saying some time back, and it says, "What if God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness?" Now, I don't believe that they have to be mutually exclusive. I believe that the people of God should be the happiest, most joy-filled people on the planet, because their happiness and their joy comes from their relationship with Jesus. People who are looking for other people to make them happy, or external influences to make them happy, or substances to make them happy, or adventure, and, you know, they're just trying to mask the pain with all of this busyness of activity, I believe that their joy and their happiness is very, very short-lived. God is very concerned about our holiness. And he says here, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to purge away your dross, and I'm going to take away all your alloy." Everything that is impure, he wants to remove. Everything that has oxidized or decayed, everything that is diminishing the value of that silver or that gold, everything, he says, I want to take it away, because I want you to be as valuable as you could possibly be. You know, when they mine gold and silver out of a mountain, it comes out and it's just a mass. I mean, it doesn't come out all bright and shiny. There's rock and there's dross and there's all sorts of impurities in it. It's not till they begin the refining process that they restore it to value. It would make no sense whatsoever for that silver, once it had been purified, once it had been refined to the highest caliber of purity, to say, you know what, I want to go back and I want to add all of those impurities back into my existence once again. It would be diminishing its value. Folks, today I want you to know God wants to invite you to a life with him, a life that's filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with purity, filled with holiness, filled with righteousness. It is not a law of deterioration, but it is a law of restoration. Restoration is very refreshing. And so we want you to remember the offering here on the radio station again, 632-1000. Paul's probably here. Give him a call and let him know that you want to partner with the radio station. We have our vintage service tomorrow at 11:30. And I tell you what, let's do this. Let's seek God with all of our heart and allow him to restore us to the value that he wants us to be. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m.
And the time now is 8:59, and you're listening to 91.5 FM. This is WMIE, and we want to thank Pastor Bob Arthurs and the good people there at Merritt Assemblies of God for that radio program. That's heard every Monday through Friday right here on this radio station from 8:30 to 9. It's also rebroadcast from 5 to 5:30. So, okay, this is day two of our offering here at our fundraiser here at the radio station. That's why you hear me on the air right now, and perhaps have been all day, because this radio station is listener supported, and twice a year we take 1 week out of the year and raise the money we need for us to continue to broadcast. The dollar amount we've been seeking has been the same, hasn't changed for a good 5 years now. That dollar amount's $30,000. We are right now, I want to thank Vina from Satellite Beach, longtime supporter of the station, $100. Also, Rochelle from Rockledge. I think this is the first time I've talked to her. Thank you, Rochelle. Thank you, Vina, as well. And Rochelle pledged $40.